I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I wonder if you ever watch old black and white films, or if you remember watching them. If you do, you'll know that one of the joys of old films is that you could always tell who was the goodie and who was the baddie. For one thing, they always looked different. Baddies often had a squint or sinister-looking clothes. And then there was the music. When a baddie came on, it changed. It became dark and brooding. Filmmakers in those days gave us plenty of clues. These days, the opposite seems to happen, and the baddie is the person we least suspected. In our postmodern world, we acknowledge that life is far more ambiguous. Well, despite that, I think it's a human category, sadly, to categorize, a human characteristic to categorize and label. Quite possibly, we have differences of opinion about precisely who the goodies and baddies are in public life. It's very apparent, isn't it, in politics, where one person's hero is another's monster. Whatever negative views some people may have of Donald Trump, for example, others hail him as America's hero. No doubt, even in this congregation, we'll have come to different conclusions about public figures. But still, each of us does have a tendency to judge them, to put people into boxes, those we think are good and those who are not. And of course, some of our media reinforces that binary perspective. Well, we've just listened to a parable told by Jesus to illustrate the kingdom of heaven. It's a story that has some things in common, doesn't it, with the more familiar parable of the sower that we heard last week. Both draw parallels with agriculture and the natural world. And in both, we're offered an explanation. However, there are differences. In the parable of the sower that we heard last week, all the seed is good, sown by God. It's where it falls, it's the soil that differs. But in the parable we heard today, some of the seed is good, sown by the Son of Man, and some of the seed is bad, sown by the devil. Well, both of these stories are in their different ways very challenging. Last week, we might have asked ourselves, am I good or bad soil for the word of God? This week, we might, if we took the story at face value, ask, am I a plant growing from the good seed who would be gathered into God's barn? Or might I be one of the other sort whose end is rather graphically portrayed and involves weeping and gnashing of teeth? Yet, both parables need to be read alongside our belief in the possibility of change and redemption. Certainly, it's not my belief that any one of us is unwaveringly good or irredeemably bad. For we believe, don't we, that the Spirit of God works within us always to turn our lives around, and that God is always ready to forgive. That might seem to contradict the image from our reading, that some seed is simply bad and some good. To resolve that, it's important for us to remember the difference between a parable and an allegory. Parables, such as those Jesus told, are stories that make us think. They're not always exact parallels. We can't take the analogies too far. In fact, some scholars think that the second part of our reading may have been added by the early church to strengthen their message. So rather than hearing the story literally, it becomes important to ask what are the issues that this parable makes us think about. Well, for me, it speaks most clearly about the difficulty of telling goodies and baddies apart. I understand that if we place this back in its original context, the weeds referred to here were actually very difficult to tell from the wheat. So there was a real danger of rooting up the good with the bad. And if anyone is a gardener like I am, there's a danger of that the whole time. And so we notice that this householder instructs his slaves to let them both grow together. This is a reminder of the dangers of classifying people, a reminder that we should let God be the judge of souls. I've got a favourite fridge magnet that has the words of the Danish philosopher Kierkegaard. It says simply, life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forwards. I love that because it reminds me that although I often can't see the sense of things at the time, it will make sense in retrospect. And at times of change and uncertainty, and we've been through that or are still going through it at the moment, aren't we? I have to hold on to that thought. So how is that relevant to today's thoughts? Well, we can be sure that there's a difference between God's perspective on the world and ours. I sometimes think that we're like the characters in a book who don't know how it will end. God, as the author, can see the whole picture. And it's his perspective that's reflected in this parable. He's the one who is outside time and can understand things as a whole. God alone sees our hearts and our motives, and he knows what we're like, and he has the whole picture. He's the only one in a position to judge us, and it's our belief indeed that he understands our weaknesses and forgives. We live our lives forwards, stumbling along. And the great good news of our faith is that while there is life, there is hope. Hope of change, hope of redemption. Paul, writing to the church in Rome, is quite clear that none of us, by our own efforts, can be good. But through Jesus and the work of his Spirit within us, we can change, we can grow closer to God. As human beings, we're not simply good seed or bad seed that has no choice but to grow into what it's destined to be. We have the potential for free will, for development and change. So we end with prayer that God will indeed inspire and guide each one of us, that when we come to the end of our lives and are able with God to make sense of them by looking backwards, we will see evidence of the seeds of his love, his Spirit, and the growth and actions that flow from them. We lay claim, don't we, to salvation through the example and free gift of Jesus, who can transform our frailty so that we become more like him. Amen.
Thank you very much, Caroline, for planting.